for me to be with you this week. Not only a joy, but an honor as well. And in spite of the circumstances, of course, that led to my invitation, speaking about circumstances, they certainly invite us tonight to keep in our mind, as well as in our prayers, our dear brother, Stuart Elliott, that the Lord might restore his health. Such a good man, a good servant of God, that the Lord might visit him with his blessing. Stuart should be here tonight. He should stand in front of you. Instead of Stuart, you have Raymond. This is what you might call the dark side of God's providence. The first time I met Stuart years ago in France, in Chalon-sur-Saône, I have been invited to speak at the Pastoral de Dijon, which is the French equivalent of the Banner of Truth conference here in the States. And I was talking with David Vaughan. We were talking about the angels singing God's praise. And there was a man washing his car there. A weird car, because the steering was on the right side. And we all know that in this case, right is wrong. So the man was washing his car, and all of a sudden, this voice came out from the catacomb and said, "The angels don't sing." I challenge you to find even one place in the Bible where you see the angels singing. So I look at David and say, "Who is he? Who is this guy?" Well, I said, "This is Dr. Stuart." I said, "Oh, I'm supposed to spend the week with him. It's going to be great." But we became very good friends. Stuart is very straightforward. Love that man. The second time I met him was more glorious. It was in Toronto. He brought me a nice bag of Swiss chocolate. He surely made a friend forever. Until yesterday morning, I thought I was speaking fast. And then yesterday morning, I listened to my beloved brother, Matthew. But man, I feel that in comparison with him, I'm like, I don't know, a snail on Ritalin, you know, very slow. I just want you to know that I don't nourish any kind of illusion on my person. I'm perfectly aware that I don't have a little accent. I have a strong and awful accent. I also know that I am old, fat, bald, and ugly. On top of that, I am boring, so enjoy your week. The topic I propose to treat during this family conference is a broad one, as you have already noticed, I'm sure. Christian life. It goes without saying that we won't discuss the subject exhaustively. During the 4 nights of this conference, what I propose to do is to look at 4 aspects of what Christian life is all about. Tonight, Christian life is a blessing. God willing, tomorrow night, we will consider the Christian life as a commitment or a dedication. And then, if we have not been raptured, just in case we have some dispensational among us, Wednesday, we will talk about Christian life as a transformation. And then Thursday night, Christian life as serving. Serving. I pray and trust that our God, our gracious God, will bring some benefits from this meditation for our own life and, of course, first of all, for His glory, to His glory. So tonight, our first injection, first shot, if I can use the word, Christian life is a blessing. I remember a few decades ago, the hockey team, the Philadelphia Flyers, were playing against the Montreal Canadiens in the final of the Stanley Cup. And before each game in Philadelphia Arena, Kate Smith, those who are of my age perhaps will remember that, Kate Smith was singing, "God bless a miracle. She was singing it with such enthusiasm, with such a passion. It was irresistible. And though I was cheering for Montreal Canadiens, I was just transported by this song and all the enthusiasm it was raising. It was obviously hitting a sensible string in people's heart. And you know, in listening to that song, I discovered that though I have a French accent, I have an American heart. God bless America. May God bless America. Nowadays, unfortunately, the word bless is often used very lightly. We put the word bless in all sauces. It is an expression used by politicians to finish their speech. God bless America. God bless you all. It is a word we use to end a phone conversation and, or when we say goodbye to each other. God bless you. But it also reveals something deep down in the human heart. It reveals that the human being is longing for blessing, happiness, peace, prosperity, etc. Every single human being craves for blessing. Though, if you ask people what they mean by this word, you risk to get a plethora of answers, numerous answers. For many people, blessing can mean everything. And we know that when a word means everything, it means nothing. So, what is all about this business of blessing? Of course, the Word of God has a lot to teach about this subject, but we have a specific text that provides us, in a very concise but complete way, what we should know about blessing. Let me get rid of this to make room for my Bible. So I would like to invite you to turn with me in the book of Numbers, chapter 6. Numbers, it's a pericope, it's a scripture which is very well known. I'm sure it's, you are familiar with. Numbers, chapter 6, verses 22 to 27. I am reading from the New King James. I tried many times to read from the old King James, but it was impossible for me to keep my false teeth in with all the thee and the thy and so on. So I am reading from the New King James. I know that many people nowadays are using the ESV, but I am using the New King James. And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, speak to Aaron and his sons, saying, this is the way you shall bless the children of Israel. Say to them, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. So they shall put my name on the children of Israel, and I will bless them. So this brief portion of scripture gives us answers to three fundamental questions concerning blessing, about blessing. The first question we receive the answer for is, where does blessing come from? This is very important to be clear on this very matter. Where does blessing come from? So that we might look at the right place to get it. The second question is, what is blessing? We need to have the real stuff, the authentic stuff. So what is blessing according to Scripture? And then, when we have clarified these matters, how can I receive these blessings? Where can I place my order? How can I receive these blessings? So the first route we are seeing in this verse, first of all, in this passage, is that blessing comes from the Lord. You will say it's obvious, but it's not that obvious existentially, as we will see. Blessing doesn't come from wealth. Blessing doesn't come from great food. Blessing doesn't come from nice clothes, from driving a flashy car, from having a good marriage or having nice children or holding an important position, etc. All these things can be a blessing or a byproduct of the blessing, but blessing doesn't come from it. The verse we have here is very clear. The Lord bless you and keep you. Blessing comes from the Lord. And this truth is so central to the passage we have read that the Lord reiterates it three times in these verses. Verses 24 to 26. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you peace. And to make sure we won't miss the point, in verse 27, God sums it up as He says to Moses, verse 7, so they shall put My name on children of Israel and I will bless them. I'm certainly not the right man to teach you English, but you know very likely the difference between I shall and I will, between a future and a volitive. Future is I shall, you will, he will, we shall, you will, they will. A volitive is I will, you shall, he shall, we will, you shall, they shall. And you can see the difference in the translation here in verse 27. So they shall put My name on the children of Israel. This is the future. And I, says the Lord, will bless them. This is a volitive, and it makes a big difference. How does our Lord operate? We are told in the Bible that God does everything according to the counsel of His will. So the counsel of His will in this very case is, I will bless them. I have made a decision in My will that they are going to be blessed that way. We find the same occurrence in the New Testament, Matthew 16, when the Lord said, I will build My church. Is this Christ's power? Please do you see, brother. Sorry, is there a possibility to get the tape back and to erase this? Where was I? Yeah, when the Lord says, I will build My church, it's not a project that is future. It's a decision that is going to be sure to happen, that will be fulfilled, because it's a decision of the will of God. I will build My church, and the gates of Hades won't prevail against it. So we have the assurance here of God's blessing. Now, why is it so important to put so much emphasis on this fact? Because our propensity, is this a word? Propensity. Our natural tendency to look for blessing in the wrong places. And this is exactly the reproach the Lord is addressing to His people in the book of the prophet Jeremiah, chapter 2, verse 13, where we read, for My people have committed to evils. They have forsaken Me, the fountain of living waters, and hewed out cisterns for themselves, broken cisterns that can hold no water. What God is telling His people here is this, of course. Instead of seeking blessing from Me, the one from whom all blessings flow, as we sing in church, you try to find your own little blessing where there is none. And as someone ably put it, instead of the fresh springs of living water of blessing that flow from the Lord, they scratched around in stagnant, muddy pools of their own making. Yeah. For Israel of old, it meant, of course, making appeal to idols instead of Yahweh. It means making appeal to idols for their protection, for their life sustenance. If we are honest, if we look at ourselves in the mirror of the Word of God, if we are honest and we look for a moment at our own heart, we will certainly admit that we too try to take our own cisterns. We too have our own muddy pools from which we drink. As we try to find significance in all kinds of possessions or status. If only I had these things, I would do. If only I had a wife or a husband, I would do. If only I had a child, I would do. If only I had this job, this promotion, and on, I would do this. It is an easy snare to look for blessing in possessions, in relationship, or in being respected by our colleagues at work, or admired by our friends at home or at school. How important it is to men. God is the only source of blessing. So at this point, the first question we have to ask ourselves is this: what do I look for blessing? And to find the answer, we have to make a little personal exercise. We have to follow our feelings back to their source. We have to identify what makes me feeling good or angry. What makes me feeling secure or despair. In other words, we have to unmask our idols. For example, if my hope of blessing is in possessions, then I feel immensely blessed when I get new stuff. And I feel utterly anxious about losing them. I am overjoyed when the object of my blessing seems to be accessible, and I get angry when it seems to be. And this principle applies to every aspect of life. We have good example all around us. We have good example sometimes even in us. And we have certainly numerous good examples in the Word of God. For one, Haman, this is the way we pronounce his name, Haman and Mordecai. Haman. Okay, Mordecai. Okay. Before we forgive you. So you read very likely about Haman in the book of Esther. Haman, when he was invited to Queen Esther's banquet, you know, he was at the table with his wife and with his friends, and he was telling them, you know, how he was important. He was just telling them that Queen Esther prepared a banquet for that very night, and she invited two people only. The first one is the king, and he asked them, guess who is the second one? Guess who? Me! He told him, I'm going to be there. So he said to his wife, darling, don't wait for me for dinner. I'm with the queen. And as he was going to the palace for the banquet, he was no longer walking. He was literally flying, levitating. Already intoxicated by prestige, going to eat with the queen and the king. You know, his idol was well fed. He was so happy. His prestige is only personal. And we know that it didn't take much to spoil his happiness. Indeed, on his way out of the banquet, he noticed that Mordecai, I pronounce this correctly, Mordecai didn't bow down before him, and he became free. Haman's whole world revolved around his fragile ego. And here Mordecai challenged Haman's idols. Haman was really drinking from a muddy pool. If you are interested, you can read the rest of the story. Esther chapter 6. He went for a time of counseling with his wife. Of course, she didn't have a clue about Mephitic counseling. He said, I have a problem. His name is Mordecai. He doesn't bow down when I walk before him. She said, this is very simple. Hang him. I have a problem, Killian. No problem anymore. Very simple. Counsel took it. She was just feeding him in his idolatry. Another example we have in the Bible is Balaam's. Balaam's divided heart. It's a good illustration of Jeremiah 2:13 that he has forsaken Yahweh, the fountain of living waters, and hewed out cisterns for himself, broken cisterns that cannot hold water or that can hold no water. Faced with a choice, it was a choice that Balaam was facing. Faced with a choice between obeying the clear command of God and pursuing Balak, the king of Moab. Balak. You don't know to pronounce it either. Balak. Thank you. Balak. Okay. Start over again. Faced with a choice between obeying God's command, God's clear, and pursuing... What is it again? Balak. Balak's offer of silver and gold, tried in Balaam's hand. He gave him the false belief that silver and gold would be a greater source of blessing than obedience to God's command. Are you familiar with the story of the end when Balak asked him to curse people of God? And finally, God said, no way, don't go. And finally, he kept asking, and God let him go. And what happened? He did go. What was the end result? Fellowship with his donkey. And this is a very sad story. Oh, by the way, it reminds me something. When we moved from Toronto after TDS, we moved in Quebec City. I bought a house, and one of the neighbors tried to be nice to me. Came with some of the stuff of his garden. So we sat in my backyard, I sat with him, and we started to chat, and he asked me what I was doing in life. And when I told him that I was a Christian pastor and so on, he said, come on, you don't believe in the Bible. I said, yes, I do, sir. He said, we find even a donkey that speaks. I said, you know, sir, many donkeys are still speaking today. He didn't stay very long. I realized that my strategy of reaching out needed to be a little bit refined. So, we know the story. Balaam is on his way to curse God's people at work. And then the angel of the Lord stood before the donkey. Before the donkey stopped. And finally, to make a long story short, he squeezed a little bit Balaam against a wall, and Balaam was very mad. He was drinking. His donkey looked crazy, so that his donkey looked at him and said, what's the matter with you? Well, I'm paraphrasing. No. Why are you striking me? I have always been a good donkey. No. I think that what the donkey meant is that I have been a better donkey than you have been a prophet. I've been a faithful donkey. You are an unfaithful prophet. But the sad thing is this. Silver and gold triumph Balaam's heart over the privilege of obeying God's clear command and the blessing that goes along. So where does blessing come from? The answer is straightforward. Yahweh. Our covenant God is the only source of blessing. Which brings us to our second question. At what time am I supposed to finish? Okay, better to accelerate. I will take the pace of my brother Matthew here. Our second question, what is blessing? If blessing does not consist in having it all, if blessing doesn't consist in a wonderful relationship or in being an important person, then what it is? What is it? First of all, let us put things clear. Blessing is not a feeling, but an objective favor. Young people, yeah, you have your an objective favor, an undeserved favor. a blessing may or may not generate good feelings. And it's good to be remembered, this truth, this basic truth, in a society where feelings are on the throne. Every good thing is defined by feeling. How do I feel about it? I need to feel good about it. How many people are slaves on their feelings? Blessing may or may not generate a feeling, but blessing is not something that subjective. It's just objective. It means that feelings are not the measure, they are not the gauge of blessing. A good illustration of this is the Apostle Peter. When the Lord, well, let's look at, you can turn with me or not. Matthew chapter 16, verses 13 to 17. I know it by heart in French, but not in English. So Matthew 16, verses 13, we read, when Jesus came into the region of Caesarea, do we say Philippi or Philippi? I'm sorry. Okay, sorry to wake you up. To go. Philippi, okay. When Jesus came into the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? So they said, some say John the Baptist, some Elijah, and others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. He said to them, but who do you say that I am? Simon Peter answered and said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus answered and said to him, blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jona, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father which is in heaven. Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah. How do you think that Peter reacted? Are you sure I'm blessed? I don't feel anything specific. Yes, you are blessed. He was even happy because the word blessed and happy. Same word, Greek, this. Happy, blessed are you, and you are blessed indeed, Simon Peter, Bar-Jonah. Because what you know now, you didn't discover it by yourself. It's been revealed to you. I was sharing with Bill and Norma last night at their place, three years ago. I was over in France, in Nantes, the city of Nantes, which is so rich of history, where Protestants, Huguenots, have been persecuted. And I was officiating in a wedding. And all the people that were there, only the bride and the bridegroom, were believers. For all those who were attending the wedding, the great majority of them had never put a foot in the church. And I was talking about God, and they were looking at me, and you know, I thought they were about to call 911, and or you know, where is he? I know his word comes from. And I found it so sad to see the situation. Such a situation. Very intellectual people, or at least they believe they are, but no spirituality at all. And the first thing that came to my mind was, how blessed am I that it's been revealed. We are not better. We are not more brilliant. It's been revealed. How often do we tend to take it as nothing? Do we forget what blessing it is that the Son of God has been revealed to us? Not only that, but that we have been made free to believe that the bonds that were keeping our will slave has been cut, and we have been freed to run to Christ and receive His great salvation. So salvation is not a feeling. So let's look at our text to see what it says about what blessing is. It's very simple but amazingly rich. Blessing lies in a sort of face-to-face relationship with the Lord, making the experience of His protection and favor. This is what this priestly benediction tells us. Look at it, verse 24. The Lord bless you and keep you. What it means is this. May the Lord provide you with what you need and protect you from evil and harm. May the Lord be your shepherd so that you shall not. Yahweh, who created us, knows exactly what we need and in what measure we need it in every single sphere of our life. The Lord, who had determined the length of our days, has an exhaustive knowledge of what our life is made up of. No, He is perfectly aware of all the heartbreaks I am carrying on my hands. We are all carrying luggages, like marbles, all kind of injuries. He sees the struggle of my present. He knows what my future holds, because as we see, very often, it's the one who holds the future. The Lord's blessing is inclusive. It includes all my needs. It meets them with the perfect fatherly wisdom. There is nothing wrong, per se, in desiring good stuff, harmonious relationship, and important position in children. But blessing is so much more than that. God continues to preach the blessing, verses 25 and 26. The Lord make His face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you peace. True blessing is a personal knowledge of God. And here we have two very vivid images. But the text suggests is that God's face shines when He looks at us. We know what it is like when someone's face is shining, right? When we are making premarital counseling with young people, we have to wear some glasses sometimes. Their face is so shining, and sometimes we have to remind them, "Hello, I'm here." Or when you look at the young fellow, young kid, in front of the window of a toy store, there's a toys, his eyes are shining, are under the impression that with his look, you know, he will break the glasses, and it's shining. I can't imagine that in a way, this is how the world looks. Our beloved God delights so much in us, His children, that it is as if His face shines whenever He sees us. As someone wrote, blessing is not just that our faces shine when we look at the beauties of God, but that He delights to turn His face toward us and look. Blessing is our Heavenly Father's face beaming as He looks. Can you imagine God delighting in you? Is it not what every child longs for his father? To know that their father delighted in them? To know that they are important to their father? That each time they walk in the room, their father's face starts shining? First, that deeply touched me. It's found in Genesis 22. When Abraham and Isaac are going to Mount Moriah, and on their way, young Isaac asked his father, My father, here is the wood. Here is a fire. But where is the land? There's the question. We know that in Hebrew, Father is Abba, right? Abba. Here, the word we have is Abi. Just to make a long story short, the E at the end is the kind of personal adjective, my father. without falling in this kind of daddy's theology, you know, for a while, people were praying, hey, daddy, and, you know, backslapper. It's a lack of reverence. Without falling in this kind of extreme, I believe that there is more than my father. My son, who is 23, still doing that sometimes, and when he was young, he was calling me when, sometimes when he was in a very good mood, he was calling me Mopa. You have the word Papa in Mopa. I remember as it were yesterday, he was coming up the stairs with his big girl pale. Mopa. He was presenting his regrets, and I can tell you, just the introduction of the word Mopa, half of his regrets, he had to go. You know why? Mon papa is a very pregnant expression. Mon papa is full of theology. It's an expression that is carrying a lot of theology. You are mon papa. You cannot come. You are mon papa. You are going to protect me. You are mon papa. I am precious to you. I've been putting the nose perhaps. Switch up. Is it okay? Thank God we're not on TV. Perhaps the problem is with my ears. Don't have a staple. Scratch tape, not the word, duct tape. Sorry. So just try to imagine now. I start talking to Gabriel. My papa, where's the woods? My papa, there's a fire, but my papa, where's the land? Imagine Gabriel's parents as they were heading to my papa. How you feel? Now think about John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. God must really delight in us. Blessing is amazing for us. Now thirdly, to receive this, we got to our third question. How to receive this? And the answer lies again in this message. The answer is that God, out of his grace and mercy, God, out of his sheer grace and mercy, gives it freely to his people. See, it's not a religious business where you have to use all kinds of tricks and manipulation to get the favor of a God, where you have to practice arm twisting to bring him to grant your request. This is the way things of old, and even of today, things it works. This is also the way of thinking of some religion. Some want a blessing from God. You want a blessing from God, you need to make contact with Mary or angels or your deceased grandfather that they give you a little push, and perhaps your request is going to be granted. It was the way of Jacob. Even before Jacob was born, God had promised him. Jacob has been crying by all kinds of tricks and confusion of steel and promises. He took advantage of his brother's promise to get the I betrayed your brother. He wrestled with only Ethan, Nadan, Eben, or his daughters at Rish. And finally, at the fourth of the trip, he had exhausted all his own strength. the end of his train, after he has exhausted all his plans, he finally came and realized that the only thing that counts is what the priestly tradition teaches us here, that in the spiritual business, God is always initiated. He says he who initiates the blessing in this passage. It's not Aaron who asked God, how can I bless the people? Moses didn't file a multi-copy request either to God. That's God's decision. God came to Moses and his brother and said, I want you to place my blessing on his feet. But the Lord initiates it because he wants to bless his people and to eat peace. And the most amazing thing is that we deserve very much. On whom is God for his rejoice? On faith and faith. On people who have no God came to me when I was dead in my transgressions. After he showed me to his son, to be completely devoted to him. Jesus came and lived a perfect life. He perfectly kept and fulfilled the law of God. He walked in a constant and loving obedience to God, and so he truly earned the Lord's blessing. At this moment, on the Mount of Transfiguration, you are my beloved Son. You and me. But then came the last week of Jesus, the week of his passion, after your suffering, when obedience to his Father will take him at Calvary. The cross that is the burden of my own. He endured the ultimate humiliation is equal to us. He made it known for my righteous soul. He reconciled me with the power of the world. He was in the region. By 21, for our sake, he made him to sin and remove sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. The cross, someone said, very happy, is the very antithesis of the priestly benediction. In number 624, we read, the Lord bless you. It got the the Lord make his face shine and be gracious to you. If you have the Father in his face shine, the Lord will bless his countenance. If you have the Father in his face to be gracious to you and be gracious to you, he can hear Jesus crying in any. In Jesus, we now receive God's blessing. Two quick, short applications. Perhaps you're among those people who have never experienced this blessing. perhaps you have never, use the word spell, but it's not the right word, you have never been assured of his favor for you. Or you never came to Christ in repentance. You have never submitted your heart. You must be aware that the Father's faith, that God's faith, is not given indiscriminately to all humanity. Just as his blessing from Aaron was not to be administered to all the people, the Father's blessing is granted only you are a believer, but you have forgotten where your blessing is to be found. So you are confronted with anxieties, with concerns about the worries and the cares of life. You don't enjoy the assurance of the Father's protection. So you become an easy prey to fear, anger, everything that is opposed to the Father's gift. Gift that has been brought to you. It is Christians need to keep it. For so often, we are looking for satisfaction. That's not how we can be Christians and spend frequent conflict. God's faith in Christ Jesus is still extended. As someone said, every day the Father's face thanks him. He beholds us because he sees us clothed in the circumstances. In Christ, we have been chosen from eternity. In Christ, we have been blessed with all kinds of blessings in the heavenly places. That is the way you shall bless the children. Say to them, the Lord bless you. The Lord make his face shine and be gracious. The Lord lift up his countenance and be gracious. So they shall put my name. Myself.